Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 10th, 2016. On ProWrestling.net today, my full coverage of the Vince McMahon and George Berrios conference call regarding WWE's first quarter financial report. My WWE Raw hit list is available. Plus, Will Pruitt's pause review of WWE Raw will be available a little bit later today, along with WWE ratings and viewership information. Plus, we have a couple of Raw on-site reports available with some interesting observations from last night show. You can join me tonight for TNA Impact Wrestling live coverage beginning at 8 Central, 9 Eastern. And hey, if you haven't been watching Impact lately, you've been missing out. Last week's show, I would say I didn't see Lucha Underground, but better than Raw, SmackDown, NXT, the weekly Ring of Honor show. TNA Impact has been way more hit than miss this year. And so I definitely encourage you to watch the show. Ideally, do it along with me as I do my live review again tonight, 8 Central, 9 Eastern time. About the WWE financial report, the company reported $13.9 million in net income compared to $9.8 million net income in the first quarter of 2015. Vince McMahon was quoted in the press release as saying, "Our strong performance in the first quarter reflected the successful execution of our content strategy, the sustained year-over-year growth of WWE Network, the global consumption of our video content across all platforms, and the recent record-breaking attraction of WrestleMania demonstrate the increasing strength of our brands. We believe we can continue to leverage these strengths to drive long-term growth." And that's the end of the Vince quote. There was not a new WWE Network number today because this was, it was the first quarter report. The first quarter actually ended prior to WrestleMania. And so WWE put out the number the day after WrestleMania. So no new information there. You can kind of get a feel for how much business shot up during WrestleMania weekend, but that's about it. And that's kind of old information. Anyway, WWE stock is up about 38 cents today in reaction to WWE's financial report. At one point, it had shot up to a dollar over its opening price, but then it's been dropping since about, looks like about 1 Eastern time is when the drop started to occur. And as I record this, about an hour and 15 minutes later, has been dropping a little bit, so kind of balancing itself out. Overall, I took this as kind of a pleasantly surprising news because, I want to make it very clear. Not a great financial mind by any means, but I really did wonder whether the talent cuts last week, and then even we had a couple of recent broadcast team member cuts. I wondered if those were a sign that WWE was being proactive because they had a lousy report coming. They did a bunch of cuts at one point, and not just talent cuts, but a bunch of layoffs in the office when they had a really down quarter previously. In retrospect now, it just looks like the talent cuts were made just because WWE was doing some spring cleaning when it came to the roster. So, who knows if there's something else that inspired it beyond that. But they've done WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania cuts in the past. But it seemed like they'd kind of shifted away from that into letting talent contracts expire rather than doing a big block of cuts. So I guess that's why the release has surprised me to some extent, even if none of the names who were cut really surprised me. I know some of you are going, Damian Sandow. Well, I can't say it really surprised me. And by the way, I did address a lot of that. Really, every name that ended up being cut in a special Quick Hits audio last Friday, available exclusively for the members. The Q&A session that Vince McMahon and George Berrios conduct comes after the conference call. This is not open to the pro wrestling media. This is for people in the financial world. So this is why you don't hear the audio, why you don't, why people like me are not chiming in, unlike the those Triple H media calls that we get to take part in. This is just a financial world exclusive kind of thing. I do listen in, but I never have even tried to ask a question there. I just know that one's off limits, but they wouldn't even take the call, so it wouldn't happen. But I think one of the most notable things about it is that Vince McMahon did list John Cena, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, and Randy Orton as big-name wrestlers he expects to return imminently. So, we knew John Cena. He's coming back May 30th, Memorial Day, for Raw. And then Rollins, it was just a matter of time. He's been off making a movie and, of course, coming back from major knee surgery. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton were kind of unknown. Orton's been out off for a long time, and he kind of puts different information out there about when he will return. Bray Wyatt, of course, suffering I believe it was a calf injury overseas when on the first day of the European tour, and he's been out ever since then. And they really didn't follow up on it to explain just how long he would be out of action. But it sounds like all four players for WWE will be back, and obviously that's good news for the company. They, you know, knowing you're going to get your top guy Cena back. I mean, they're pushing Roman Reigns like he's the top guy, but we all know that John Cena is still that, at least for now. And so that's huge. Rollins, such a player. Just a major return for WWE and Seth Rollins. We'll see what they can do with Orton. And it looks like Bray Wyatt, they were just starting to do something with him, perhaps as a babyface. I lean that way, but it also could have been a long con on the Roman Reigns character too. So I'm not quite sure what they have in mind for Bray Wyatt, if plans have changed now that since he's been sidelined, or how they actually plan to play this. But it's going to be big for WWE to get those four major talents back on their television show. Nothing new as far as WWE Network and China, I would say, and the country, not the late wrestler, but it's one of those things that they get asked every quarter, it seems, and sometimes they're a little more they seem a little more excited than others about they never give a definitive timeline for it, but this time it was very little talk on China, just kind of, hey, it's the last market and we're still developing a plan, so I don't think they have anything imminent as far as China is concerned. But it was an interesting call with George Berrios really defending the way that they value social media. And even a caller had kind of challenged him on it a little bit, saying, hey, you're only making, I think the caller said, about $10 million off this. But, basically, and I'm completely paraphrasing, but they talk about it so much. And so if you're not making that much money, is it really as big of a deal as you say? And he, he really dug his heels in on this one. And he just said it's something that drives everything they do. You know, it's a platform for them to reach the audience. And so it's not like they get a big initial return or immediate return on that investment in term. I mean, well, you and I would take $10 million, of course, but it's not like it's a real lucrative thing for them directly. But they really believe that it keeps fans engaged. So it's not a direct return that they're getting from this, but it works in so many other areas. And I would say there's certainly something to that. I maybe they're still overvaluing it, but I think it goes beyond just the dollars and cents of what you're getting directly. And another part of this was people bringing up the WrestleMania seemed to be an issue, and WWE giving it away as a free month, and rather than, and not even just that, but I think the idea that it's not on pay-per-view, and because somebody was kind of questioning, okay, you made about $60 for WrestleMania before, and you had, I think they said somewhere between 900,000 and 1.2 million was the average of what they were doing on pay-per-view. And so the caller said, all right, you had that. Now with this platform, with the WWE Network platform, you're getting, even with paid subscribers, $9.99 a month. Are you keeping those subscribers for the full 6 months and really getting a return? Berrios really, I mean, he responded to it, but I thought what was missing from this is an explanation that, hey, it's not just about WrestleMania. Yes, it's our biggest show of the year, but what about all of the other shows? And if we have, so if they were, WrestleMania was doing those huge numbers, but what were the buys for some of the paybacks, those types of shows, a non-big four pay-per-view. And if WWE used to be getting a couple hundred thousand in buys or something like that, and now they are actively getting 1.45 million network subscribers, I believe it is, on the paid side, then that you can't just look at Mania. You also have to look at the increase they are getting for these other shows. And so he really didn't get into that, but that's the thing that came to my mind when I was listening to that question, is it's not just WrestleMania. Now, if you want to make the argument that, what about, okay, so let's just make this about Mania. You're not directly, if you don't believe they're directly making as much as they could off of Mania by having it on pay-per-view, could they say every WWE network or every live special we do available on the network, with the exception of WrestleMania, and go back to the old model, a pay model? Maybe. Hey, DirecTV and Dish Network already passed anyway. I don't think they could if they wanted to. Now, enough time has passed that maybe the satellite companies would be like, Yeah, you know what? We're still not happy that you went across the board on your pay-per-view events. Moving them to the network, and we're not, we're not going to budge on certain offer everything. But you're going to let us get a cut of that WrestleMania pie? Maybe they would do it. I don't, but I'm guessing it's just they're. I mean, it seems like free money. I would if I were in their position, but I think they really want to take a stand here. But it's not like WWE is backing down. I mean, WWE Network is doing good business for them. They had another good quarter here, and so if I'm a DirecTV or Dish Network, I'm looking at this going, they're not coming back. So what can we do? And but I don't know that WWE wants to go that route. I mean, they easily could have said this is not a free month for new subscribers. That this, we lock it down for WrestleMania. Every other month of the year, you can do the free trial. But when it comes to WrestleMania, no, that's the one we have to charge $9.99 for. The fact that they didn't tells me that they're pretty damn content. I mean, I think they like putting that big 1.8 million number out there and lumping it. That's the number of people, overall subscribers, including the people who signed up for free. And you're not going to convert all of those people. They still like to put that number out there. But I don't know that they want to go back to making WrestleMania, run the risk of turning off a bunch of subscribers and having them cancel their network. It's one of those things, like Netflix, for instance. I might go, weeks without watching Netflix, and then it'd be easy to go, I've got a really busy schedule. I'm just going to turn off Netflix for a while. Now I'm grandfathered in on Netflix, I think, at a different price point. So that would encourage me to stay for one thing. But the other part of it too is that, it's kind of inconvenient, and then once you do it, if you as a subscriber, maybe you live without it and you realize you can get by with not just Netflix, but anything, and anything you subscribe to like that. And I don't think WWE wants to run that risk that, all right, yeah, a lot of people are going to stay put. It's going to be a kind of a hassle just to do the unsubscribe thing, but we're going to get some, and they're going to be upset that, hey, you used to offer WrestleMania as part of this. Now you're not. I want out. And it's easy to go, well, you probably get most of them back for the next pay-per-view. Yeah, the diehards you would. There may be some diehards that take a stand and say, no, I'll pay the $60 for Mania, but I'm not also giving you $9.99 that month. I think they have enough going on in the network alum that most of the diehards would stay. I mean, when you factor in the Hall of Fame and the not necessarily the pregame show, but certainly NXT, the live special they do during Mania weekend, I think a lot of them would stay put. But it's still, you run the risk that you lose people and that they live without it, and then you have to go through. It's just tougher to get them to sign up again. It's tough to get people in the door in the first place, and when you lose them, because you're charging people for pay-per-view, I just don't know that they want to run that risk. I don't know that they want to drive people away even for a month, because that month, kind of like it's not necessarily just a month. There's no guarantee those people are coming back. Even if they like the experience, they start to live without it. They take that money and they spend it elsewhere. It's tougher for WWE to get them back. But that was, I mean, you can read my full report on it, but those were a couple of the key things that stood out to me today. And then also in other wrestling news today, Ring of Honor had a title change at their show in Dearborn, Michigan on Monday night. That's right, a live event, Ring of Honor, Monday night. They are doing the War of the Worlds tour with the New Japan Pro Wrestling talent over here. So that's why they had a show on Monday night. It was Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian defeating the team of War Machine, Hanson and Rowe, to win the tag titles. Move is surprising in that War Machine had just scored the biggest win of their career. They'd beat the Briscoes the night before on the Global Wars pay-per-view event. And so it's surprising to see them go from winning that match to suddenly dropping the titles. Now, Ray Rowe, who is one half of War Machine, he tweeted that he's not going to be appearing in Toronto on Saturday or on Wednesday due to doctor's orders. However, asking around about this, no one's told mentioned anything about no one. I don't know that he's injured. He didn't mention anything about Saturday's event, and you would think that, okay, if you're going to miss one, you're probably going to miss the other. I mean, there's a chance it's a very minor injury. I'll say this: whenever a guy misses a show in Canada, I always wonder if it's a work visa issue. And I'm not reporting that it is. I'm just saying that's what crosses my mind when wrestlers miss shows. You know, they're on the road on a regular basis, and all of a sudden the company goes to Canada for a show, and they're not on that show. Well, that's, you know, it's been a reason for a number of people in the past. And so, again, I'm not saying that's the case with Ray Rowe. Certainly, it crossed my mind, though, when all of this came up. And I'm also going to speculate that maybe War Machine regained the titles on Saturday night, because he didn't mention anything about not appearing in New York City for the final show of this tour on Saturday. And so I wonder if the idea is do a quick title change with the Addiction, Daniels and Kazarian winning the titles on Monday. They do whatever they do on Wednesday night at the show in Toronto, but then they drop the titles back to War Machine on Saturday night. I don't know that if it is just one show that Rowe's missing, I don't know that it was worth the trouble, but I don't think they do any major damage there either. Just kind of strange circumstances with the way that Hanson and Rowe had a big night on Sunday just to turn around and drop the titles the next night. And by the way, we obviously straying from our usual format. I will get back into reading the WWE Raw hit list and giving some bonus thoughts on Raw next week. But with the conference call today, that kind of shook everything up, and then the ROH title change. But I will tell you that the members are listening to my 49-minute audio review of last night's Raw, as well as my Q&A audio show yesterday that went about 46 minutes, and the 48-minute audio review that I recorded on Sunday night following the Ring of Honor Global Wars pay-per-view event. If you are interested in membership, you can hear all of that audio content. All of the audio that we have ever done is available on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Membership rates start at $7.50 a month. You can save yourself some money by signing up for the six-month option. And if you want to save yourself the most amount of money, you can whittle that price all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month if you take that annual option that's available. Membership information available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Look for that sign-up area. And once you are in there, you'll see those three different pricing options. Choose the one that is best for you and is not a difficult sign-up process. You will be in before you know it and enjoying all the perks of .NET membership, including the ad-free version of the site, access to the members forum, and all of that audio content, and so much more. Hey, coming up on Wednesday and Thursday in this slot, Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett are going to be hosting, so you'll be getting their latest Pretentious Wrestling podcast, and I know they will be discussing AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, Dana Brooke's debut on WWE Raw, Big Cass's rise in WWE, and how WWE's new era affects NXT. So it should be an interesting couple of shows from the guys. I'm looking forward to those. If you enjoy this podcast, and I would hope you do if you've made it this far in, please remember to take a moment to subscribe to the Daily Podcast, and also rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. You are helping spread the word about the podcast when you do that, and it's really appreciated. And for that matter, it's a very simple thing you can do. When I put out the link to this podcast every day at Pro Wrestling Net on Twitter, all you have to do is hit retweet. It's a very simple way for you to help spread the word about the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. Again, you will hear Will and Jake tomorrow and Thursday, and then I will return on Friday. So until then, thank you so much for listening. Take care.